and everlasting life and light. He freely gives. Great song. Thank you, ladies. It is our privilege today to have Nancy Hubbard with us. I met her once when she was here before, and ever since, I remember your gentle spirit, your fighting spirit, and God's loving spirit. And so she's going to share a little bit about the ministry that God has given them. They've been to Sierra Leone, I believe, and to New Guinea and Guyana, and presently in Panama. So they're charting a course around the world. And so I would like you to introduce Nancy Hubbard. Come up and give her a hand.
Good morning, everybody. It's so great to be here. I think first, if we could just show the CD first, it's just 3 minutes. It gives you a little idea of what we do in Panama.
Panama is quite a unique place in terms of the population. It's a very diverse country and very friendly among this diversity. There's not a lot of tension between groups.
Living and working in Panama City, in a city of 2 million people, has its challenges because of the congestion and the traffic. It really does make it hard to develop relationships because everybody is so busy.
That same issue impacts how we do training. You know, when a person's got to spend 2 hours to get to a class, class is done at 9:30, and they're not going to get home till after 11, and there's no buses running after 11, you really have to restructure your thinking about how you're going to do training.
A lot of people go to church, but it's tradition, it's ritual, it's not a personal thing. To bring them to that point of realization that they need to have a personal relationship with Him, that's a challenge, because everybody believes in God.
There is a bit of suspicion. You know, even though you're neighbors, you don't know each other, so who is this person? And so there's a lot of time involved, I mean, even years, just making contact with the people that live next to you or in your neighborhood.
In Panama, it's all about building relationships, getting to know them, being their friend, helping them, talking to them, listening to them, and winning souls one at a time and building the kingdom that way.
One of the things we've really enjoyed is having people in our house to separate them from their world and separate us a little bit and just interact.
I would never have considered evangelism to be a strong suit of mine. I've always been rather intimidated by the word evangelism. But after studying about kindness evangelism, just going up to somebody, maybe with a small gift, maybe serving them in some way and saying, hey, God loves you and so do I. And then to train people in our church, in the local church that we attend, we saw the church literally explode from an evangelism team of two or three to 30, 35 people.
There's a great door opening for the future training of missionaries from Iberoamerica. And part of that's going to be the development of a virtual classroom. That will allow us to be connected without having to go to another country.
One of the things that we've just left in Panama in the beginning phases is the Jesusville ministry.
We went to Playa Chica, which is a remote island. And we showed it, and it was very exciting because we had the film in the language of the people. And so the first night we had 100, the second night we had 200 people show up. And they were saying, you need to come back. And we're gonna organize and we're gonna meet out in the open air because this is good.
We really need the prayers of our supporters of the church in North America. we wouldn't be able to be there. We wouldn't be able to work as effectively.
It is a team, not in the sense that we're all in the same location, but in the sense we're all connected to the same truth. We often think about the churches and individuals back home. We're praying for you because we know when God is working in your lives, our ministry is that much more effective.
Well, again, thank you for having me and letting me share with you this really special day. Burning your mortgage, that's really great. Thank you, too, for supporting us in your prayers, caring for us, and giving toward our ministry. Thank you especially for praying for my health. I feel good. I have a follow-up scan the end of October, but we're just trusting God for good results, and I really appreciate your prayers on my behalf. I greet you from Perry. He's currently on the plane coming home from Colombia, South America. He's been there for the week, working with the pastors and the leaders of many different Latin American countries, working together, praying together, sharing together, and planning how they can expand the kingdom of God in Latin America. And I have to say the Iberoamerica, which you heard Perry talk about, that's the politically correct word now for Latin American and Portuguese-speaking countries, and that is who we work with. So if you hear Iberoamerica, that's what we're talking about, and that's our world. That's who we work with. I just want to add a little bit to what we talked about evangelism on the video. We talked about evangelism in Sunday school this morning, and like I said in the video, the term evangelism always scared me a little bit, especially when people would go house to house and I would kind of like turn around and run the other way because, you know, it really scared me, to be honest. But I was reading a book a couple of years ago called Conspiracy of Kindness by Steve Shogren. And as I read this book, no kidding, my heart just started beating really fast. And I said to Perry, I could do this evangelism. And I called up our pastor in the local church, Pastor Jose. I said, Pastor Jose, I got to talk to you. Because we had an evangelism team at the Casa de Gracia Church of two or three people who would do door-to-door. And, you know, door-to-door is effective in some places and sometimes, but we needed something fresh, something new. And so the whole idea of kindness evangelism, or what we say in Spanish, evangelismo generoso, generous evangelism, is that you go into the community with a small gift, with a small service, and you just tell the people, this is for you, it's free, it's from our church, God loves you, and so do we. So our first time we did it, we had a big tub about this big, full of ice, and 250 cans of Coca-Cola. And we went to the construction workers, and we went to the people walking down the street, and we stopped cars, and we gave them a free can of Coke, and we said, here's our card, this is from our church. Here's the information. It had our theme on it, and our theme is Lojos. Lo hacemos porque te amamos. We do this because we love you. We handed them Coke and the card, and we said, God loves you, and so do we. And many people just were kind of speechless, and they said, thank you, and they walked away. But some people said, who are you? And why are you doing this? And where's your church? And what a great opportunity to share. Since then, we've given out carnations on Mother's Day, which, by the way, is December 8th in Panama. It's a national holiday. Father's Day, we've given away ties and pens. We've given away candy canes at Christmas time, notebooks before school started, homemade cookies, and we washed cars. And I don't know if it's been really successful, and that's a bad word to use, success. But anyway, the most fun that we've had and the best success we've had has been the car wash. We had people standing along the street with signs, like you saw in the pictures, saying, free car wash. And then another sign, really, you know, and with directions, you know, and turning into the parking lot in front of the church. We had a team of people who would wash and dry cars. We had ladies who gave free lemonade to the people who were waiting. We had people specifically assigned to just go up and talk to them. How are you? What's your name? Where do you work? Tell me about your family. And in every case, the conversation led to spiritual matters. Two people accepted the Lord at the car wash. I wish I could tell you that the people are busting the doors down to enter the church, which they're not. But we have had people visit who haven't come back. We've had people who have visited that have stayed and joined our fellowship. We've had many, many people call because they received the card and they just want more information, or they need counseling, or they just want to talk. The seeds have been planted, and who knows what could happen. But the cool thing, the really cool thing, and I made mention that on the presentation as well, the church has been refreshed and renewed and excited and energized, because now our evangelism team is 30 to 35 people, and it includes kids and young people and older people and everybody in between. And it's been a great, great way to see the church just get kind of rejuvenated. And that's just one of the things we do in Panama. And again, thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. God bless you. Dios les bendiga.
Before we start to worship, Nancy, don't leave yet. She is mentioning that she's having a scan at the end of October, and we need to pray for you. So come up here, and I'm going to anoint you. The elders or the board come up around her, and then anyone else that feels so pressed, let's pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, the greatest friendship evangelism that ever occurred in the world was when God came here and gave his life for us. And because of that, Lord, you have changed us and you have made us into servants of the Most High. Lord, an ambassador for Christ. Lord Jesus, the greatest calling, Lord, of all. And Father, we pray for your humble servant, for this loving vase, Lord, who is so gracious and loves you so desperately. We pray, Lord Jesus, then this test comes up, that there will be nothing. There will be nothing there. Why? Because like Coke is the real thing, God, you are the real thing.
Jesus. Yes,
Lord,
Jesus.
You touch her sovereignly, we pray, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, that they can continue the work that you have given to them. Lord Jesus, to reach people one by one, Lord, and slip them right into the arms of a loving Savior.
Yes.
Father, we thank you. We pray your protection on Perry as he is returning. And we pray, Lord, for any other needs, financially and other ways.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, for the house they are seeking to secure, I pray that your hand would be all over your direction for their lives. And Lord Jesus, just in a very special, specific way, bless her this day. Lord Jesus, as she's such a blessing to the house of God, Lord, and to your throne room. Lord, I praise you for her and ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch to the uttermost. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Today is our mortgage burning, and as had been suggested, it's a great day to rededicate our commitment to the house of God. You know, when a fire is started and you have the two, or you have more than one of the wood, we had a fire that started on Calvary from two beams, and the holiness of God met it and ignited it and changed us. And we, being changed, can be, as Nancy shared, tools to see others change. So let's worship this wonderful chorus, "Oh, the glory of your presence."
Of your presence.
We are awestruck, Lord, that when Jesus was on this earth, of course, he gave his life for us, which is the greatest gift. But he also set up his church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And I thank you so much, Lord God. This is not our message. This is your message. This is not our gifting. This is your gifting. This is not our building. This is yours to do with as you desire, to be honored and glorified within and without, and within every temple and every life of everyone that comes and those that you are going to bring. Father, we praise you today. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, we're not standing in our achievement, but we're standing on the solid ground. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Encourage our hearts today in the work that you alone can do, Father, and I thank you for it. Take your word and make it real. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I was thinking this week of when Steve Jobs died, the creator and owner of Apple and the iPhones and the iTunes and all the i's. When they announced his death, the company, of course, as one would expect, where was it put? On the iPhone, on the i, on the Macintosh. On everything he created was the message of his death and a tribute to him. Do you know that the tribute of the person of Jesus Christ and the gift that he gave in eternal life, you know the messenger, you know the tool was given to his creation, which is us. Of course, the creation we look at has another message to show God's splendor, glory, and order. But the people of God have the absolute message. And we pray that God help us to not get his message mixed up with ours, that it would be his message. His message is redemptive. His message is healing. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Leviticus. In the Old Testament, if you want to really understand the things of God and the order of God, Leviticus, if you studied it with Hebrews, you just enjoy it so much. Put the scripture together. That's how we understand it. Okay, a jubilee moment is the message. So please stand for the hearing of the word of God. And the Bible says in the 8th verse of the 25th chapter, count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years, and then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout your land. And consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each one of you is to return to his family property and each to his own clan. Please be seated. What would happen in our society if every 50th year the governments went along with the biblical warrant to bring rest to the land, to return debt to its natural owner, for families to be restored? We wouldn't have the disintegration we have in this society, for one thing. There is a biblical imperative to return everything to the owner. Who's the owner? The Lord. We return it all to him. Dave's going to put a picture up here. Some of you know what this is. Some of you do not. The gentleman holding the paper even looks a little like him, doesn't he? This is Dave and Carolyn's grandfather. In 1941 in Mitchell, South Dakota, they burned their mortgage. He looks happy about it, doesn't he? Yeah. But it is a great moment because it shows the blessing of God, is what it shows. 70 years ago, that occurred. So between 70 years, from that time to this time, Fred's grandson is going to burn our mortgage today. Keep it in the family, God's family and their family, of the faithfulness of our God and our Savior. And when I was thinking about the 70s, I'm thinking about the number 7. We don't worship numbers. We don't interpret them beyond what God has in the scripture, of course, but they do have a significance. And so in the 25th chapter of Leviticus, I landed on the year of Jubilee. I love the idea of the Jubilee. The whole year, there's supposed to be a trumpet sounding throughout the land to say, God's victory. Return it all. Take your mortgage. The house ain't yours. Return it back to the owner or its rightful heirs, whoever it is. And I think that's fabulous. You know, God sets up things in times, not because he dwells in it, but because he rules it, and he controls time. You know, he actually tells time what to do. I always love that. It's time to do this, and that's what's going to happen. So here in the text, in the 50th year, after all of these Sabbaths have occurred, on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is basically where we are right now, is the Day of Atonement, which is yesterday, actually, in the Jewish calendar. That day, Yom Kippur, when their sins are covered, where they fast, where they repent, not only for their own life, but their family and their nation. I think we have people in Christendom as a whole that either spend all their time praying for themselves, or they pray for the nation and they forget to pray for themselves, or they pray for their families and their immediate need, and they don't pray for outside of that. We need to pray in every sense, really, because God wants us to have our life taken care of, but he also wants us to be outward and to be upward, correct? He wants us to be complete. So here we have this wonderful day, which is 9 days after Rosh Hashanah, the head of their year. So it's the holiest time of the year for the Jewish people. It is the beginning of their calendar year. It's the beginning of their civil year. And I think, what a great way to start the year on Yom Kippur. You know, as Christians, that's the way we start our life. We start it under the forgiveness of God. You can't become a Christian except for you realize that God has forgiven your sins and you accept that great salvation. Aren't you glad that that's the beginning? What a great way to start. Man, I've started off free. What a great way to start a relationship. It's not like you get to a relationship and then you got all these orders. You got to fulfill this and this and this and this and this. By the time you're done, you forgot who you're having a relationship with because there's so many requirements. God gives us the freedom to begin with. And in the scripture here, it talks about, in this time, consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land. Throughout the land. What kind of sounds are going through our land today? Not of liberty. Not that I can think of. Not that I can see. In fact, it's getting darker and darker on the horizon. You know why? Because they took God out. Can't have light unless God's in the picture. And so the ram's horn is sounded, which is the horn that is sounded when there's a new year, when there's something new happening, an offering, something that God is trying to say to people. And he wants to get their attention. Now, first Wednesday of every month, we have the tornado drill, right? You have that sound, and it's twice. Well, it's maybe, yeah, it's twice, I think, they do it. And after a while, you go, you know, aren't we done with that? When we moved in, not to where we live now, but when we moved into our place in St. Anthony, the horn stuck. And it never stopped for the first full day and night we lived there. It was just horrible. Lord, bring the tornado. Knock that thing out of there. You know. But this was to go through the whole land. Let everybody know that's what's occurring. And it's a time when the land comes back to its original party, so they would blow the shofar, the ram's horn, to let people know. It's also this particular time in the Jubilee was a time of no labor, no sowing, no reaping, none of it. Why? Because the land needs to rest, for one thing. And number two, God was showing them, I've taken care of the need. You don't need to do it. And that's very important. When we burn the mortgage today, who owns this property? Really, God does. In conjunction with the Wesleyan Church. But it belongs to him. Now this ram's horn, in the Hebrew, it means a loud sound. That's what it means. In other words, so people can hear it. Sound isn't going to help you if you can't hear it. So it has to be heard throughout the land. And the Jubilee comes forth. This word in the original means to return to something, to return, to restore. And that's what's being done throughout this society. The interesting thing is that this comes right after the Sabbath year here it's referring to. And it's referring to, I'm going to go back to the third verse, for 6 years, this is in a sabbatical year every seventh year. For 6 years, sow your fields, and for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. From the time of the purchase of this property, we are going to be heading into the seventh year. That's coming, which is phenomenal when you think about the purchase of the property in that time period. And when I was thinking about this and praying about it, like the Lord said, now you're going to come into a place of rest. You're going to cease from some of the labor you feel in your spirit and reap what God intends to give. Did these people starve for the year? No. God provided before, so they would be living off of what was already prepared. God has blessings and strength and healing and wisdom and victory, all prepared. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. Not that we're not to be working or working for him, but ultimately it comes through him. And I believe as we come into the seventh year, God will honor that with the rest this church needs. It's been a tough one, hasn't it, for a couple of years, folks? There's a lot of need. But God's a big God. And I believe that he's going to take care of things sovereignly. He's going to surprise your socks off what he's going to do. And that's okay, because we walk before him. So I want you now to turn to Daniel, the 9th chapter. Because when we go into sevens, again, we're not worshiping numbers here. We're just simply saying, God has an order, and how he orders it is up to him. And what the order means in the 70 years and the seven sevens and the weeks of Daniel, we don't fully understand. Everybody has a different opinion. The important thing is God has an order, and he's going to bring it forward. So in Daniel, the 9th chapter, and the 24th verse, remember, in Daniel's time, they came out of bondage where they were for 70 years. And so that word, that number is going to ring in his head, just like from the burning of the mortgage in Mitchell, South Dakota, to right now, that's 70 years. Okay, that's the time frame we're talking about. In the 24th verse, 77s are decreed for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophesy and anoint the most holy. Now, scripture is very clear that there are often double prophecies, and there are triple actually on occasion, where this is talking about what God is going to do. If you take it literally to 490 years, it's not going to bring you up to Christ time. It's not going to bring you beyond that. So perhaps the interpretation is not what it should be. But what we do know is when Jesus came to be born, he came as the Son of Righteousness, right? He came with healing in him. He came to put an end to wickedness. And the Bible says here to put an end to sin. In the Hebrew, that word can mean sin or sin offering. Jesus was the sin offering. And he paid for us, and he met God's judgment on the cross. But he also met the mercy and meted it out to us. To bring an everlasting righteousness, which means in antiquity, it means it's in forever, his righteousness. And then to seal up that vision. And who does the book of Revelation say is worthy to open the seal? Jesus. So there is his incarnation, his death, and ultimately when he comes again. It's including everything, because God is a multi-layered God. Don't get wrapped up in dates and times in specific, because God is still coming to complete his work. The finished work on the cross finished our salvation. God is going to complete and remove the presence of sin, meaning the devil. I don't know about you, but I want a front row for that one. I've already put a suggestion in, but I don't know if he cares that much, but I'd like to see it. I want to see him squirm just a tad, like he has bothered us. The Bible says to finish that transgression and to bring everlasting righteousness. Only he can do that. Now, 77s are decreed for this. God's going to bring it forward. And in our church here, in this seventh year as we come into it, how many believe that God wants to bring a season of rest to the souls of his people? You know why? Because he has to prepare us and strengthen us for what he has. We can't go on our own strength. If we go on our own strength, we're going to poop out. Or Peter out, or Paul, whichever. We need to be in his strength to do his work. And when God is going to bring that victory, which he will, I don't know about you, but I want to see it. I want to see the work that he's promised. There's a return to the owners in the year of Jubilee. This is a great day to dedicate our lives to the work of the church and to the mastery of Jesus Christ. This is a great day to return to people the debt you think they owe you. Okay? It's about families. It's about history. It's about returning back, because the only one that's on the hook is the person that's hanging on to the offense. You're hooking yourself if you're hanging on to something. I can guarantee you it's not a help at all. Ain't hurting the other person either, but it's hurting you. So as we consider the scripture here, it's a great day to let it go. Because God let everything go for us, didn't he? How can we do any less for others? And the other thing is, remember, if you have something clasped in your hand, you cannot receive what God has to give you. We're so busy hanging on. We need to let it go and put it in the soil of God's garden and let him bring victory out of it. Very shortly here, we're going to have our mortgage burning. And I'm going to ask our board to come up. Darlene had actually voiced this request, probably because she reads the numbers and does the books. But that's okay. We're so glad that she does. And so I asked, because at the time of the purchase of the property, Pastor Dale Christensen was the pastor here, as many of you remember and love very much. And I asked him if he would write a letter on behalf of what he recalls and his journey with you at the time, because this is right before we came. So I have it on the PowerPoint. It's right after this. We'll sing the song after. And it says this: Lita and I are so pleased to hear about your mortgage burning ceremony. Praise the Lord for providing such a useful and beautiful facility for the Living Springs family, and for bringing you to this place of being debt-free. I know that this represents much consistent obedience to the Lord and giving by many people over many years. The Roslyn Park facility was completely paid a number of years ago. Many of those who greatly helped in this cause are now with the Lord, and I hope he is allowing them to rejoice with you once again attaining the financial freedom that you have returned to this month. I remember very well the time we spent in prayer in 2004, seeking God's guidance about relocating the church to Spring Lake Park. And despite our best efforts to be careful with God's money and the resources he had already provided, a move would require us to move into uncharted territory and to risk a season of debt, which, if you know your board, you know they don't care for that. It was not something this church family would do ordinarily. Yet the leading of the Lord seems so clear. I was so proud of you when you stepped out in faith. And when God's people maintained such harmony during that time of transition, it was a strong testimony of grace and character. And the results have been wonderful. There is stronger ministry and people have come to Christ. What could be better than that? We love you and thank God for your faithfulness to him. Keep shining. from Pastor Dale and Lita. And I told him that I felt it was only right, since he was the pastor at the time, that he should be included in this great day. So what we're going to do, we had gone back and forth on if we were going to do it inside or if we were going to do it outside. But I think maybe greater wisdom prevailed. We'll do it in here because you're already sitting here. And so it's windy. And, you know, there's so much issue with fire danger that we don't want to have any issue outside. We don't want one in here either. So, but we know the power of God is around Dave, so we believe. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had the water. We don't want the fire. But anyway, so I'm going to let him take care of this. And as we see it, view yourself and your life, that God has burned up the debt, everything in your life. He's forgiven you. He's restored you. He doesn't hold it against you. The cross is the wood, and the fire is the holiness of God, and God has removed your debt absolutely. How many are glad? So glad. Thank you, Jesus. So when he comes back in, we're going to watch Dave burn for Jesus. Thank you.
Got a wonderful document here. It was a mortgage for $660,000 on May 31st, 2005. That happened to be my dad's 95th birthday. So up here is really nice stamp. It says paid in full. And we get to burn it up.
Just sing the chorus of the song, Jesus Paid It All. Okay, does everybody know it beside me? Well, you can just help lead it, that's all. You don't have to play it if you don't want to.
Jesus Paid It All?
Uh-huh. It's in the hymnal, I believe. Remember. Yep. Ask you to stand for the closing hymn, and then we will have our potluck.
Thank you.
We love the church. We love the people. We do have the greatest people in this church. There's no question. You don't need a mirror. Hopefully you can see it on each other. And you can see it in the heart of God. So I'm going to ask Pastor Dennis to come up and pray, and pray for the potluck and pray to close the service.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you that you paid it all, Lord, and to all we owe to you. And Lord, go with us, fill us with your Spirit, and may people see Jesus in our countenance, in our lives, in our spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name, and bless this food to our bodies now in Christ's name. Amen.